All right, guys, so we're in lesson 8, and we're going to talk about the nature of ministry. Now, is everybody aware that you are involved in ministry? Maybe you never thought about that. Well, I know you are, George. Well, yeah, we usually think in terms of ministry being what the pastor does, or a missionary, or an evangelist, okay? Or what you do as a Sunday school teacher. But every one of you are involved in ministry. Okay, ministry is simply just another word for service. Every one of you are involved in serving the Lord. And in particular, whether you realize it or not, you are involved in sharing the gospel. And the first way you share the gospel is with your life. Because you can say, well, I've shared before, people weren't interested. Well, people look first at how you live your life if you believe what you believe. It's going to be reflected in how you live your life, okay? And so we're all involved in ministry. Now, as we understand that, let me ask you this next question. Does everybody agree with your Jesus in your life? Do they respond? No, not necessarily, maybe negatively, okay? Now, my question for you is, why is that? What do we typically think when there's someone who doesn't respond to the gospel, even if we share it with them, what do we typically think is the reason why they reject?
We didn't do a good enough job.
All right, Brad said we didn't do a good enough job. Have you had that feeling before that you didn't do a good enough job? You mean like sharing? Didn't say the right things. Anybody else got a response to that? I hear. I'm getting older and my hearing's going. So.
I agree with Brad on that wholeheartedly, but I think some people are just stubborn and they don't
believe. Okay, so Jane thinks some people are just stubborn and they don't want to believe. Okay, all right. How many of you hear what Jane is saying? Okay. Anybody else got something you want to add to it? Okay, so notice what Bruce said. That's how we feel, but that's not the truth, okay? What do you mean it's not the truth, George? Well, we're going to talk about it today because you're going to find out what the truth of the matter is. And so that's going to give you an understanding of the people that you are talking to, but it's also going to give you an understanding about your ministry. Because I find a lot of people are defeated when it comes to the thought of sharing and doing ministry in their personal lives. And there's no need to be defeated. Okay? Now, what do you mean there's no need? Well, we're going to see here. So I want you to notice with me. We're going to look at verses 1 to 6 of chapter 4. First of all, let's look at verse 1. Okay? Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. All right, so this is the first thing I want to focus on. I want to talk about his attitude. Let's look at verse 2 as well. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. So we're going to talk about his attitude here. So first of all, here's what he says about his ministry, okay? So he acknowledges that they have the ministry of the new covenant. Now, remember what the new covenant is? Anybody know what's the new covenant? What's the new covenant? Well, first of all, what's the old covenant? So you understand the new covenant. What's the old covenant? I heard the law. Gene, my hearing is going. So the law, okay? And that's what you were saying, Mike?
I was just saying you had to be a Jew.
Okay, and yes, and it's the law only for the Jews. Was it for us? No, okay? So that's the old covenant. Now, what is the new covenant? Yeah. Through who? I think you said it, Mike. Christ. Christ sacrificed himself so that all may come to salvation through his finished work, not because of us. That's the new covenant, okay? Now, you and I said, are ministers, whether we realize it or not, and we, like Paul, need to acknowledge it. We have been made ministers of the new covenant by his grace. Whether you realize it or not, you are a minister or a servant of the Most High God, okay? So he says it's by God's mercy. So the ministry was given to Paul in spite of his past sins. So in spite of who he was before, God gave him this ministry. I would say that's true for all of us here, right? In spite of our past sins. Well, I'm not like Paul, George. I didn't murder people. I didn't murder Christians. And I understand that. But you still sinned. And are sins the same or not? Yeah, in God's eyes, all sins are the same. You could be an axe murderer or a liar. It's the same. Do you understand? And in God's eyes, we're all servants by what? His mercy, right? By his mercy. Okay, so let's talk about his attitude. Verse 2. He wanted to renounce shameful ways. So he renounced the shameful practices used in handling the gospel. So he did not want to get involved with the shameful ways, the shameful things. Even in his day, some of them were using very shameful means to share the gospel, such as, okay, we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. So they were trying to manipulate people with their what? Speech. You know, like trick them into salvation or so forth, all right? Here's the other thing he says. But by open statement of truth, we commend ourselves. So basically, he says they openly shared about gospel and then they commended their lives as the testimony. Not trying to manipulate people into it, okay? Not trying to manipulate people. So here's what he's saying. The reason why he says that is some accused him of using the gospel deceitfully to serve his own needs, his own ends. He's doing it for himself, they would say. Now, let me stop. Is that a legitimate criticism? Can we? Not of Paul, but of others, right? Yeah, would you say if you turn on the TV or even if you're in a community that there are people who peddle God's word, not for the Lord, right? For their own pocket, yes. For, you know what I'm saying? And some were accusing him of doing that, and he's like, no, I'm not doing that, okay? I'm not doing that. Now, let's talk about the proper handling of the gospel here. He stated that they present the gospel in truth before God and men. So they just kind of present it. Now, let's stop for a moment. Does everybody understand? For us, the gospel is a blessing, right? When you talk about Jesus dying on the cross, it's a blessing. But is that true for everybody? The pure message of the gospel, does everybody accept that? No, I recall talking to an individual, man, more than a decade ago, and him saying to me, you mean to tell me you really believe somebody had to be killed on a cross for you to, quote, be right with God? What kind of craziness is that? And to be honest with you, from the world's perspective, it would be what? Craziness. In fact, Paul said that in the 1 Corinthians, that it's foolishness to the world. So he's not trying to couch it and whatever. He's talking about people are sinners. Now, who likes to be called a sinner? No, nobody. And then who likes to be told you're going to hell? Nobody. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't think of them as being that bad. Well, he's commending himself to them. He's telling them the truth. And he says, here's his life. That's who he is. Now, when you realize that, is everybody going to accept what you say? No, then why do we get defeated? Okay. Yes, that's exactly what Brad shared earlier, Nancy. Yes, I feel like I didn't share the right thing. But the point isn't that you shared the right thing. It's their response.
We don't know what part of the equation you are. You could just be the person who spreads the seeds.
Yes. Yes, that's true, Bruce. So it's possible that you are just part of the process. Okay, so I've read that sometimes it takes people to have contact with the gospel at least 7 times. If that's true, for those who respond, at least 7 times of contact with the gospel, you might be number one in the process. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, or did you hear what he said? There are people who sit in church for 40 years and don't ever get it. You know what I'm saying? They don't accept Christ. Now, that has nothing to do with who? Us. It has to do with them and their heart and their receptivity to the message. And can I go ahead and tell you? Most of them are not going to hear it or want to understand it. Do you understand? That's hard for us to understand. See, that's why your salvation is by grace. Because you could be in the same situation that they're in. You know what I'm saying? So, all right, so let's keep talking here. All right, let's talk about the nature of the ministry in the world. So look with me at verse 3 through 4. Here's what he says. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. All right, so let's talk about the nature of ministry in the world. The first thing I want you to see is the world's blindness to the gospel, okay? So the gospel is hidden from those who are lost. All right, so first thing he's going to point out to you is that, you know, he was being accused of that he's hiding the gospel, keeping others from hearing it. And he's like, no, I'm not doing that. It's not me. Gospel's plain. It's right out there, okay? In fact, let me just stop for a moment. I pastored in Canada for 4 years, okay? And when we moved to Canada, you know, down here we had Christian radio and everything and all these programs. But when we moved to Canada at that time, there were no Christian radio stations in Canada. None. No Christian TV stations. There was a station that had all the faiths on, so there were Christian speakers and there were Buddhist speakers and Islamic speakers and so forth throughout the day, okay? But for the most part, there is no gospel. And after being there 4 years, I can remember one time when we crossed the border, heading down to Pennsylvania, down to Indiana County to visit Lori's family, I was struck by there was not an area as I'm driving along that I couldn't get a Christian radio station. Now, didn't stick out to me before, but now after you've been somewhere where there is no gospel witness, then you're coming into an area where you might find 2 or 3 Christian radio stations on. Do you know what I'm saying? And then when you look at television, are there preachers on TV? Just on one channel? No, on multiple channels. And you walk into a bathroom, I remember going into a Sheets, and there would be a track on top of the urinal. Interesting place to put one, but I mean, there it is. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? So the gospel is here. But have you noticed, even though the gospel is prevalent here, does everybody respond? Now, why is that? You weren't even the one who shared it. It's just all around them. Okay, so he's saying the gospel is not hidden. It's hidden from those who are lost. Why is it hidden? Well, Satan has blinded their eyes to the truth of the gospel. The reason why people don't see the gospel, Bruce just said it, people coming to church sitting here 40 years never getting it. How can you not get it that Jesus Christ died for you if you're sitting at a church for 40 years? Because your eyes are blind. Do you understand? You can't see it. You're oblivious to it. And is that your fault? No. Why? Because the God of this world, Satan, is the one who's blinding them. Do you understand? It's not you. It's not how you present it. It's not you. Okay, so let's go on. So the reason for the blindness, okay, here's the reason. Verse 4, their eyes are blinded to keep them from understanding the gospel. All right, so when you know this, okay, can I tell you it changes the way you pray for people? What do you mean, George? Well, we all pray for people that we love that want to come to know Christ, right? I hope you do, okay? You have loved ones, family members, people that are your neighbors, people that are your friends who don't know Christ, and you grieve for them because you know that without Jesus, they're going to hell, right? Okay, so how do we pray? Well, I pray God save them. Okay, I'm telling you, you got to pray something a little bit more than that. Here's what you got to pray. Open their eyes. Open their eyes. Do you understand? Open their eyes to you, Lord. Open their eyes to the gospel. They're being blinded right now. God, can you open their eyes? Do you understand? Open their eyes. And I think if that's all we do is just pray for them to open their eyes. Ask for His mercy to open their eyes, His grace to open their eyes. So their eyes are blinded to keep them from understanding the gospel. Now, let's get back to what responsibility do we have, okay? So let's look at 5 and 6. Here's what he says, verse 5. Well, first of all, anybody got a question or a comment before we get to our responsibility? When you understand who's blinding them, anybody got a comment? Or a thought?
We
pray for their salvation. But you know what? Here's the thing. The task is they need to come to Jesus. But I want to pray for every part of that task. I just don't want to pray that God save them. I also know that right now, according to this passage, they don't see. Because the God of this world is blinding them. So I'm praying, God, open their eyes. You save them, but open their eyes so they can see that they need Jesus. And they understand what He did for them. Do you understand? Because you can sit there. I've sat there with people and just flat out shared the gospel. And they're like, wow, did you see that Steeler game? You know? Well, that was really nice, quaint what you're sharing there, George. But, yeah, I got a busy week this week. I mean, it doesn't even mean anything to them. Okay? Is that you? Now, I can tell you how I used to think, man, it was me. Maybe somehow I didn't share it. I didn't share it the way the other guy in church who seems to be leading everybody to the Lord, I didn't share it like he did. No, it's not you. It's they're blind. Do you understand? They're blind. So, no, you pray for their salvation, but you also, I also pray for other things, Tim. I pray for God bring other Christians across their path. Bring other people to share the gospel with them. God, when they're channel surfing through the TV, help them to come across somebody who's a good speaker and who will say something to them. Those are things that we can pray. God, change their heart, because it's a heart issue ultimately, right? Their hearts are not right. God, help them to come. Here's another one. I know this from the prodigal. He came to his senses. God, help them to come to their senses. Do you understand? You allow the scripture to guide you in how you pray for them, okay? All right, anybody else got a comment or a thought? Yes. Yes, and I've had that experience. So I remember this would have been 1987. I was in the National Guard. We were at Fort Pickett. It's got a different name now. I don't even know what it's called now, but Fort Pickett in Virginia. It's a training base. We were there for 2 weeks of training in the field. And so we were out in the field for a week and a half. It's the summer, so you can figure we're pretty stinking pretty good. So they decided to let us go in for showers. I'm in the back of a truck with five or six guys heading to the barracks. We had barracks, and we didn't even know it, but we did, and we to go get a shower. And I'm sharing the gospel with them, and there's a guy there. He's a specialist. I just remember his last name, Mac. I don't know what his first name was. We called each other by our last names. And he looked at me, and he said, "I hear what you're saying, Cannon, but I can't go home and tell my woman that I can't lay with her anymore." All right, so what was he saying there? He was saying he understood what I was saying about the gospel and his need for Christ, but he was living with a woman. And he understood that what he was doing was immoral. And that by coming to Jesus, something needed to change in his life. Now, is that an understanding of the gospel? Yeah. That's exactly right, Bruce.
And they rebel against him.
Yes, so Revelation chapter 20 tells you that Jesus establishes his thousand-year reign. At the end of the reign, Satan is released to deceive them again. And all humanity who doesn't know the Lord, numbered beyond the numbers of the sand and the sea, rise up against Jesus. Now, that's not a real big battle, is it? Because fire comes down from heaven and consumes them immediately. Here they have Jesus right in front of them, and they don't believe. All right, so stop for a moment. If they have Jesus right in front of them and they don't believe, is it really you and how you shared it? Do you understand what I'm saying? It isn't you and how you shared it.
It's never.
All right, Bruce said it's never you. It's them. Yes, Satan and his minions, you're exactly right, because they don't want you to share it. Now, remember I told you, we already talked about this earlier. Paul said he had a ministry that we give off a fragrance of the gospel. A fragrance, an aroma. And to some, it is the smell of life. And to others, what we share is the smell of death. Now, do you understand? Why is it the smell of death? Because when I give them the gospel, they have a choice to make. And if they choose not to, I've served my purpose. Do you understand? Telling people to come to Christ. Now, it's their choice, okay? So, like, I've just announced that we're having this church picnic. I've been announcing that for a few weeks. I told you we're going to have hot sausage now. I know you wanted the pulled pork and you wanted the chicken, but we're just going to have to adjust. So now it's up to you whether you come and partake. Is it on me whether or not you came? No. It's on you. I'll be there with my hot sausage, okay? Do you understand? So this is what I'm trying to say to you. I'm trying to say to you, it's never you, like Bruce said, okay? It's Satan. But what do? We still are faithful ministers, still sharing, still praying, still trying to do what we need to do. So that brings us into the responsibility. Okay, so look with me at verse 5 and 6. Okay? Here's what he says. "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. With ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." All right, so let's take a look here. First thing, So the object of their ministry is not themselves. The focus of their ministry is not themselves. All right, do you want to, here, can I help you? Can I help you with something? I am not of the egotistical opinion that the only person you need to listen to is me. I've met pastors like that. They should quit listening to the radio. They should quit. No, no. You listen to as many people as you need to for your spiritual growth. I'm going to tell you that right now, okay? You need to listen. But I'm going to tell you right now, how do I distinguish between what's right and wrong? Who's right and who's wrong? Well, who is the focus of their ministry? If it's Jesus, listen away. Read away. But would everybody agree with me that there are some ministries out there in some churches where the focus of the ministry is the dude up front? Or the ministry itself? Okay? It's the organization. What you need to distinguish is who's the primary one that you are sharing? Paul says, it's not myself. It's not what I want. Think about it. Of all the people, Bruce said it earlier, he's not the one to say this because he was a tent maker. He'd show up in an area, rather than taking money from the people, he made tents to take care of his needs as he shared the gospel. He didn't want to be a burden on the people. Was that about him? No. Do you understand? So look at, grow, listen to, listen widely, but make sure that the focus of their ministry isn't themselves. Do you understand? Because Paul said that when it came to him, it was not himself. All right, who's the object then? Jesus Christ. Paul stated the focus of their ministry was Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone. You growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Period. It's not what we do or who we are or anything. It is the basis of our ministry is one person alone, Jesus, because he's the basis of salvation, right? He's the basis of salvation. All right, so he talks about their true condition. Paul stated that they were slaves to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Okay, what does that mean? This is the one I think that most of us have no clue about. Paul said he's a slave to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Why would he say that? First of all, slave, is that a good term? No, not really, no. But he's saying he's a slave to the ministry because of Jesus. Are you a slave? Are you supposed to be a slave? What kind of questions are you asking me, George? Are you a slave? Not as much as you'd like to be. Now, first of all, why would we be slaves? Why would we be slaves to Jesus, the ministry of Jesus? He redeemed us, yes, because we were slaves to somebody else before. Who were we slaves to before? Yeah, Satan. And he bought you. You belong to him now. Do you understand? We think it's me on my own, and I've got that salvation thing taken care of, and I can just go do whatever I want to. Really? Do you really think that? Then you don't understand the gospel. It's not about what you can do on your own. It's about you and Jesus, because he bought you. You belong to him. Why do you think Scripture talks about you being bought with a price? What was that price? Jesus on the cross, right? But so many of us, we don't operate that way. We don't operate that way at all. So he stated that they were slaves to the ministry of Christ. Now, in fact, he says they're light in the midst of darkness. Now, we understand Jesus is the light, right? Because he said that in John, I'm the light. But you're a light. Okay, in the midst of darkness. So here's the picture of creation. Paul reminds the reader that God brought light into darkness at creation, right? Remember in Genesis, let there be light. He brought light into darkness. Now, he's telling us, just as God did that, he's bringing light in the midst of the spiritual darkness here. We're a spiritual light. He tells us that God brought light into our lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, folks, I know from personal testimony, I've had contact with the Bible before I got saved. It didn't make sense to me. Didn't understand it. But I'm going to tell you something. When I got saved, I understood now. Did I learn something? Did I take a class after I got saved? A baptismal class? And it made me... No. My mind opened up to understand God's word. Do you understand? My mind opened up. I'll never forget, I used to listen to NPR years ago, and they had a lawyer on there for PETA. You know who PETA is, right? People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, okay? And so he's on there, and he said that he read the Bible. And I listened, I turned up my radio, and I listened, and I said, oh, that's interesting. He said he read the Bible. I read it all the way through. And the guy said, what did you think? And the guy says, didn't make any sense to me. So here's a dude, he reads the whole Bible. It didn't make any sense. He doesn't see any connection. He doesn't see anything. You get saved? That Bible now makes sense, right? And you see who throughout the Bible? Jesus, right? Do you understand? So he's telling us that God brought light into our lives. Light entered into our lives. We were illuminated. We understood. We shine out. Okay? So, you're a light. But let's be honest, you're a light in the midst of darkness, but is everybody going to understand? No. Isn't that what John, 1 John chapter 1 says? Light was in the midst of darkness and people didn't understand who he was. He was the light and nobody comprehended him. So are people going to comprehend you and what you believe? No, but we pray for those who are being called, who God is working in their heart, and he will bring them to truth. Okay? All right. We'll continue on with this next week. Continue on through chapter 4.